Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this.
Two things related to affordable housing took place in the last week. First, there was the opening of Phase 1 of the new Elgin Park housing units. It is a step forward in a project that will increase access to affordable rental housing. The second event was National Housing Day. People from across Northumberland gathered to strategize about how issues around accommodation are addressed locally. On today's show, Rebecca Carman, the county's Associate Director of Housing and Homelessness, will talk about both these events. She will explain what the county is doing to address the needs for affordable housing. More importantly, she will address the issue of building public consensus amongst residents. This is in light of the hostilities being faced by local municipalities, and it may provide a path forward towards finding solutions instead of facing angry citizens.
I'm so pleased to have with me today Rebecca Carman, the Associate Director of Housing and Homelessness for Northumberland County. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks, Rob, for having me.
The big news from last week was the opening of the first phase of the Elgin Park redevelopment. Can you tell us about that reopening?
I'd love to. It was a great day, Rob. We were able to invite neighbors, community tenants, partners to our Phase 1 Elgin Park completion. We are very happy to be halfway through the project. We are going to begin to welcome tenants later this week into the buildings, with more coming over the next several months. It is a great moment for us. It is the first redevelopment, new affordable community housing project that we have built in Northumberland. And it's a great sign of things to come, of what's coming next.
So where does this particular project go from here?
Sure. So, I mean, for us, for where this fits, I mean, this is the first signal of things to come. I think our warden, Mandy Martin, said it in her remarks that day that, you know, we didn't come all this way to stop here. Where, you know, this is the first of many things to come. Our affordable housing strategy indicates that at least 900 new affordable housing units are needed over the next 10 years. We know that's aspirational in the sense that it's going to take a lot of effort, partnership, funding to make that happen. But at the same time, we know it's needed. So this is the start. This is one of the start of our moving forward and what we're going to be building. What this signals is a new type of community housing, one that is inclusive to folks across an income spectrum in our community. We'll be introducing market rents. We have our rent geared to income units that will be continuing. We're introducing truly accessible units into our portfolio as well, which is really exciting for us. In terms of what's next for the project, we will be working on the demolition of phase two. So we still have four semi-detached buildings remaining. And so we will demolish those units with our contractors, and we will begin construction immediately in the next several weeks, months.
Now, you talked about it being not just solely affordable housing, but also some rental units. What's the percentage of market value rental units, which you would be charging what any other landlord would be charging locally, and then the affordable units?
Sure. So in this development, we will have 28 rent geared to income units. So that's an increase of what was previously on site of 18. We will also then introduce 12, what we're calling reasonably market, priced market units. So where we're targeting that is at about 110% of average market rent for our community. So for example, a market one bedroom unit would go for between $1,500 and $1,600 a month, all inclusive. So it's still actually quite reasonable in our current rental market. And what we will do is we will make sure that folks coming into that unit meet that income threshold whereby they need that level of affordability and reasonable marketness, I guess. And so that's kind of where we're balancing it. In the future, Elgin was our first project. In the future, we will look at models where we will have some rent geared to income, some affordable, which is a bit of a higher level. And then again, some reasonably market priced units. Our goal is to get these buildings to be as, viable on their own with as little tax levy as needed so that we can continue to build into the future.
There was another significant event recently in conjunction with National Housing Day, and it was promoted as, quote, taking stock. It points out the growing need for safe and stable and affordable housing. Now, there is a mixed bag of messages, and I'd like to take a few moments and start to unpack some of those. So sure. First, Northumberland County has one of the lowest vacancy rates in Ontario. It is 1%. Plus, it also states that it has a higher rental cost comparing to neighboring communities. How does the county hope to address this issue?
So I think that's what we're seeing is we're at a point where history of what's been built in our community is coming to fruition. So what we know is that the overall stock of both rental and rent geared to income housing is lower than in those neighboring communities. In part, historically, we've been a very small community, and those urban centers have been where folks have invested in that rental stock. But we know that that's not necessarily our current reality. We know that we need more rental. We know that the other piece of this is that historically our rental market has been primarily in the secondary market. And what I mean by that is that they were not purpose-built rentals. So our rental market has historically been based in single detached dwellings or, home ownership type homes that people have been renting out to folks. And as our home ownership market and real estate market, got quite high over the last 5 to 7 years, people were selling that asset and then folks were losing their rental stock. So I think what the county is hoping to do to address that is really support that focus on purpose-built rental at all affordability spectrums, both, true market, where you rent a unit for as much as you can find someone to pay for in the market, all the way down to deeply rent geared to income affordable units that we're building and some of our nonprofits are looking to build as well. And so I think we need that broad spectrum of rental housing to support addressing those concerns with the vacancy rate and affordability rates.
Another disturbing figure that is nearly 2 in 10 residents in Northumberland pay more than 30% of their income for housing. And that just screams out that housing in Northumberland is unaffordable. What can the county possibly do to address this current situation for those people in a timely way?
So I think it's really it's a multi-pronged approach. We know, I would say, across Ontario, across Canada, we all accept that we're likely all in an affordability crisis. And so I think we know the long-term solution. The long-term solution is a diverse housing stock that meets the needs of communities, that people can afford. There are root issues around advocating for increased social assistance rates so people can afford rent. But at the same time, while that's the long-term solution, we also have to look at what our short-term responses can be. So for example, in Northumberland, we have launched a new rent subsidy program that's called the Housing Stability Program. And this supports, it's at $500,000 that we've invested into this. And it will support folks who are chronically homeless or are at imminent risk of homelessness, where they've received a notice for eviction for arrears. And we will provide them with a monthly rent subsidy to help them keep or maintain that housing. So to help them find affordability in the private market. We've also increased our rent supplement programming, again, to help people find affordability in the private market where we can. The other thing we're doing is we are continuing our growth goals of trying to build more, build a wide range of types of housing. We are looking to incentivize and support private sector and nonprofits to build that. And we're advocating. We have to advocate to all levels of government to support and fund the programs that are needed and the construction that's needed to reach our growth goals to meet the needs of our community.
Could we work through an example? Say somebody is on employment insurance, or they're on ODSP, the Ontario Disability Program, or they're receiving what was once called welfare. Term that people who are listening may be more familiar with. How does this supplement work to allow them, especially when we've just talked about, you know, low vacancy rates? Walk me through a scenario that would help explain how all these pieces fit together so that person gets a shelter.
Sure. So, I mean, I think the one thing I will say is that every person is different and everyone's going to have an individual and unique response to what they need. But for example, if we had someone in receipt of Ontario Works, a single person, Ontario Works is what was formerly known as welfare, they receive $733 a month. That's what they're entitled to receive. $343 is basic needs. So they get that amount regardless if they are homeless or what have you. Regardless of their shelter costs, they get that amount. They also can receive up to a maximum of $390 in their shelter benefit. So they have a total of $733 to play with in a month. We know that that's not going to afford them a rent. So what we've designed in this housing stability program is our goal was to make a program that was flexible enough, that had enough ability for people to navigate solutions that would meet their needs. So for example, in some of our traditional rent supplement RGI or provincial housing assistance programs, there's occupancy requirements. So does the unit size meet the individual need? Is it a fully landlord-tenant relationship? Is it fully contained? Is it all of those self-contained, all of those things? So in this new program, we're working to be flexible. So if this person has found a bedroom that they can rent, one room, we will support that. And so what we'll do is if that room for rent, let's say, is we can give up to $500 a month based on what that shelter rate is. So if the room rental was $1,000, we would fund up to that. We would fund the difference between the $390 a month and what they needed for that shelter portion. And they'd be able to receive case management support. And as we would go through in that way, so you could have a roommate, you could have, a person who's found a really affordable two bed, but it's only a single person. We can support that temporarily to help them stabilize and find their housing. So it's another tool for our partners, for our caseworkers to be able to support people in their life stabilization.
But you're still facing the fact that there's only a 1% vacancy rate. So that must be a huge challenge then in just finding them a place to begin to negotiate.
For sure. But what I will say is in that program right now, the last time I checked earlier this week, we have about 50 people who we've been able to support since the program launched like 4 or 5 months ago. So we have been able to support people in finding that and finding those things and help address that.
The wait list for community housing has surged to more than 1,000 households, with 391 new names that were just added in the last year. The county took 4 years to complete phase 1 of Elgin Street, and admittedly, with the pandemic, that was probably part of the causes for the slowdown. But with such long timelines, and you said earlier in a conversation, you're going to build out 900 units or just over 900 units over the next 10 years. But there's 1,000 people right now that need housing. How do you plan to get on top of this aspect of affordable housing?
Sure. So I think again, housing is the long-term solution. It takes time. It takes a lot longer than many of us would like. So I think what we currently have in the works is we do have 251 new affordable housing units and rent supplements in the in the pipeline. So those are things that we're doing to work towards the 900 goal. We also have capital grant programs in attempts to incentivize that creation. And I think the other thing we're really doing is we're recognizing that based on the time it takes for us to build housing, we really need to start getting more and more projects that are design ready, shovel ready, so that we can be ready to go. Because I think we've got to fill our pipeline. That's what we're working on right now, is filling our pipeline of units and land that we could develop on.
But I mean, what little comfort is that to the 1,000 people who are sitting there in a precarious situation right now that need something right now? We've got, you know, how many people in an encampment in downtown Coburg looking to get some kind of proper shelter? I appreciate very much that it takes time to get this done, and shovel ready projects still take time to get done. What can be done now in the next 12 months that's going to help these thousand people? Because we've had 1,000 people waiting for more than a decade, and they're still not getting the housing they need.
Sure. So, I mean, I think I appreciate it, Rob. It's not comforting. We recognize that. But for those households that move in, it is a comfort. The way I really think about it is like an iceberg, and we've got to just keep chipping away at it piece by piece, and stay resilient to the needs that we have in our system. In terms of immediate pieces, again, this is where we have our housing stability program. We have our rent supplement program expanding. We refer people to the Canada Ontario Housing Benefit Program. We are reviewing our sheltering system recommendation paper from earlier this year to look at how we can continue to enhance and improve our sheltering system. At the same time, we also know that we have had consistent capacity in our sheltering system. You know, we have had on average about 12 spots available each night. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to build these systems and increase the capacity in these systems. It is really a collaborative effort with our community partners, with provincially funded agencies, to keep navigating these really complicated and complex situations.
As you probably are aware, across the county, there are a number of communities that are trying to address the issue of homelessness in Northumberland. And we've seen recently a great deal of pushback in terms of sleeping cabins. The encampment is having further impacts on the community, as it's now costing for additional policing, calls for service are way up. I imagine the ER visits are up. This is costing the community far more. What is the path forward? Have you got a plan?
You know, Rob, I think that we are definitely working hard to look at these needs and address the needs across the housing spectrum, a housing continuum, including at the base, at the homelessness system. We are looking at the recommendations in our shelter system review. We have increased our street outreach presence to support people both within the county and through external agencies. We are continuing to review. We've looked at the warming hub. We've continued that model to support a safe place for people to come in out of the cold. And we will continue to look at how we can implement those sheltering system recommendations, how we can expand or continue capacity, how we can reduce barriers for folks who find barriers in entering our system. Today, we have over 50 overnight sheltering spaces in operation between Transition House Shelter, Motel Overflow, and the Warming Hub. As I've said, There is an average capacity of about 12 spots each night that are available. And we will continue to work with our system partners in how we navigate and respond to the individual needs of each person in our community who is experiencing homelessness.
I guess the question becomes one of public involvement and public engagement. When you have organizations and nonprofits stepping forward to saying, oh, here's a potential solution like sleeping cabins, or here's another kind of solution, or here's something else, what can the county do to build more consensus amongst the public about a path forward that actually starts to solve this problem rather than creating a series of conflicts where local or lower tier municipalities are, you know, facing angry crowds in their council chambers?
So I think it's a system that requires partnership and collaboration. You know, the county is using all of our resources at our disposal to address this level of need, from increasing shelter spaces, investing in outreach, rent supplement, food resources, and building housing, which we talked about. Well, we know that people may not always find the shelter system suitable, and we have our recommendations and we are looking to address this actively. We really have to look at who the partners are in the system and how we can continue to support those people who are experiencing homelessness. You know, we know that we are continuing to make strategic investments in homelessness. In 2023, we had approximately $2.3 million in county and provincial funding for homelessness. And we are continuing to invest and look at solutions across the province of how we can address needs. But we really need to look at how people and solutions fit within the current system, so that we can navigate and support individuals in addressing their needs in a system-wide approach. And that's really where we're kind of looking at. We also know that we need additional support from federal and provincial partners. We need to help us create this coordinated system response that also incorporates physical health, mental health, and addiction wraparound support services that people need. So there's not a simple answer to this. We know the local government, it's a complex issue, and homelessness can't be solved by the local government level that receives 8 cents of every tax dollar. So we know we need more support. We know we need people beside us and other levels of government alongside us in addressing these needs. And we're doing everything we can to find systems that meet people's needs where they're at. And we are committed to looking at our current system.
I really appreciate everything you said. But you keep talking about levels of government and about bureaucracy. I'm not hearing you talk about community and building community capacity to support whatever it is that the bureaucracy decides that it is a solution. Where's the component from the county that says, you know, we're building support amongst residents in this area? We're talking to people about how they think we should be solving it. We're talking to homeless people directly so that they're giving us their input. Like, where's the community capacity building aspect of this? Could you explain that, please?
Sure. I mean, so I think one of the key pieces we have is that we do have a homelessness leadership table. And the homelessness leadership table represents agencies in the community, so community-based agencies across the county who have a hand in supporting homelessness services. So we receive their advice and support in how we navigate things.
I know that. And you've talked about this before on the show, and I really appreciate that there's this table. I'm talking about everyday citizens, people who are on the street and living there. Like, where is the community capacity so that we don't have angry citizens that showed up to, say, Port Hope Council just recently and were so upset and so angry about what was going on there? Where is that capacity building with the public so that they're buying in? We've got the mayor of Cobourg having a public meeting next week to talk about the encampment and what's going on. Where is your efforts as the county to build that community capacity so that people are more prepared, so that as the bureaucracy and these tables come together and say, this is what we need to do, the community is supporting it?
You know, I think that there are lots of avenues for community members to engage. County Council meets monthly. The Social Services Committee meets monthly. Those are opportunities for people to come forward and share those concerns. When folks call us and want to understand things, we talk to them. Our system partners in the community work with volunteers in the delivery of those services. And again, I think whenever we're talking to somebody who is experiencing homelessness and seeking our services, we want to talk to them. We talk to them directly as an individual. And we look at meeting them where they are and what their needs are and what we can and cannot do in that, in the system. So, I mean, I think that's where we engage with people on a daily basis to see what their needs are. And that's how we navigate that. So we look at, you know, every person who is experiencing homelessness may have a different need. They may have a different goal, and we need to work with them to find supports and navigate pieces that meet those needs, meet their immediate needs today, maybe work towards getting some long-term solutions, long-term supports ready to go for that individual. And I mean, I think really that's where it's got to be. It's got to be based on the individual's need first. And it can't be what we think somebody needs. It's got to be what that person needs and how we can support them directly in their housing journey, and how we support them moving forward.
Rebecca Carmen, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much, Rob.
That was Rebecca Carmen, Associate Director of Housing and Homelessness.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.